Bienvenue to the Two Chance Podcast, a show dedicated to the belief that you can never have too many bikes in the garage and it's always a good day for a ride. And now, here are the Two Chance.
Welcome to Two Chance Podcast.
Welcome. It's been a while, John. You've traveled the world since we've last podcasted.
Some of the world. I've even been to Kentucky.
Yes. Times. Wait, Northern Kentucky doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. I have been to California. I've been to California though, and Arizona. So.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. Since our last podcast, I've also been to California, and Mexico.
Hmm.
Mountain biking in Mexico.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Is mountain biking big in Mexico?
Where we went, yeah, it is actually pretty big. They have a lot of, companies that will guide you up into the ecotourism areas where they've, where the villages have built all these networks of trails up at, you know, pretty high, like at 11,000 feet down mm-hmm. to, I think, like 5,000. So it's kind of like going to a ski place, just without skis or snow, just with bikes.
Awesome. Did you take your bicycle or did you rent a bicycle?
Rented bicycles. Rented mm-hmm. bicycles. It was great. And you know, it's interesting doing that. It's a lot of downhill. It's a lot of enduro stuff. But then also another thing that came that has been developed in the last year here is another bike park. And that's it's actually pretty close to our house. And this bike park, there's Canoga Bike Park and there's Ride Rock Creek Bike Park. And again, they're like almost like ski places. And Rock Creek is all shuttle service. So
what's that mean?
There's a bus that takes you to the top.
Mm.
And then you ride down. And I can't believe I was like, oh my gosh, shuttle service. But it was pretty fun. Not something I would do every day. But doing that over and over, like all that downhill work, has really kind of changed the way I ride off road.
How long is the descent?
How long is it? 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You know, it's like going to a decent sized ski place, but it also depends on. They have a range of. They have some really gnarly stuff, and then they have, you know, sequentially easier. And I think they rate them just like ski places, like blue, green, black diamond, double black diamond.
Like gnarly stuff where you can get big mega air?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that.
And do people get hurt
there? Yeah. Yeah. I think people get hurt.
Do they have like a bike patrol on hand to pick people up when they get hurt?
I think like four-wheelers. Uh-huh, I think that's what they have.
And yeah,
I'm sure EMS is there quite a bit.
Yeah, I imagine they have to be ready to extract people with vehicles and spine boards and get them out.
Yeah. Them. But on one hand, you have people doing kind of similar things in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Which in my mind is, you know, from that perspective is probably harder to get to,
mm-hmm.
you know, I ran into a friend that fell and did something with his arm and he had to, you know, you're walking a few miles out and there's no cell service, there's no anything,
mm-hmm.
but it was fun. And, you know, most of the people there, again, John, most of the people there wearing pants, full face helmets, you know, all that kind of stuff, the neck restraints and that all that kind of stuff.
Do you have a full face helmet?
I do not. No, no, I didn't. I didn't wear pads.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. So it improved your downhilling, or at least changed your approach.
It's refined kind of how I turn the bike, and a little bit, you know, I guess how aggressive, and I've really noticed it.
Well, turning the bike when you're going downhill is different than any other time turning the bike, I would think.
Yeah, or I should say at speed. And then sometimes there's some very steep off camber turns. My technique for doing those has changed a bit. I mean, it wasn't even something that I was like, I'm going to work on this. It's just something that happens, I guess, with practice. And as you try to go faster and faster, you know, you kind of need a different technique to do that.
And I assume you're using the dropper post down the whole time.
The dropper post is down. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you find, so I've been watching a lot of motorcycle videos about how to turn your motorcycle and the different techniques of turning your motorcycle and super bike versus, you know, drag your knee bike racing, and watching the way people use their brakes. And I know motorcycles are different because they have, well, mountain bikes have suspension too, and it shortens the wheelbase, lengthens the wheelbase. So it's different. And you've done track bike racing and mountain bike racing. And do you employ some of the same techniques mountain biking as you do on your motorcycle on the track?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Yeah, I have started doing that because on the track, you know, you're on your bike and you're, you know, when you first start doing it, you know, I didn't think to, you know, it's a little bit scary and I don't think to hang off the bike. And then you mm-hmm. start hanging off the bike and you're like, oh my gosh, this makes a turn a whole lot better. And I will say on high speed sweeping turns on the mountain bike, I employ some of that. Like I'll just, you know, butt crack to the inside of the mm-hmm. of the saddle or of the turn from the saddle. And it, you know what? And on it helps. And on gravel roads, same thing.
It changes your center of gravity. You're changing the center of gravity by instead of, I mean, there are situations where you lean the bike in and not your body, but leaning your body in and not the bike. I mean, you're leaning the bike too, but leaning your body in. It's interesting to find that center of gravity difference and how it holds you to the road or to the trail.
Yeah. And that is a difference. Like on the track, on the motorbike, you lean more of your body over, and then at the, you know, kind of toward the exit as you're getting on the throttle, uh-huh. The fat part of the tire is when the bike is straight up. So you want to have a larger contact patch. That's one thing that's different.
Because you can't accelerate on the mountain bike like you can on a motorcycle.
Yeah, and the mountain bike, the tires and the side knobs and mm-hmm. the geometry, you really benefit from leaning the bike more than the body.
Mm. Okay. And on a motorcycle, and I don't know if it's because a motorcycle is heavier, like especially on superbike, you know, so like you're more upright and you move yourself forward on the gas tank sometimes mm-hmm. And stay a little bit more upright. But on a mountain bike, I don't think you'd ever want to move yourself forward.
Aha.
Like that.
Or so you mentioned the thing about wheelbase.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've noticed in modern mountain bikes is there's a little more weight. Like when you're really going fast and being aggressive, you do have a little more weight forward. And that's one of the things that I kind of have figured out.
On a modern mountain bike, that works. I don't think that works on, like, if you think about moving yourself forward on your turning, like on a road bike, that seems terrifying. You wouldn't
right.
want to do that.
And think about, I mean, let's go back to, since we used to talk about cross all the time, think about when you would go around like a lower speed kind of tight turn, mm-hmm. you'd put like your head or, you know, some of your more massive parts, you know,
forward.
But that you know, that you've got a shorter wheelbase, a very tiny contact patch. You know, it's a little, that was a little different. There's some commonality, but you wouldn't do that on a road bike.
Mm-mm.
You would never.
The thing you do or should do on a road bike or on any bike, really, when you turn it motorcycle too, is it look like through the turn. If you're looking at your front wheel, like, I don't want to go off the road. Guess what? You're going to go off the road. Like, and I really have been trying to do this on my motorcycle because I got a new motorcycle, is like looking through the turns, like looking at the exit of the turn, and that you go on a nice line when you look at the exit point, or at least I do, of the turn.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing like what's right in front of your front wheel.
Yeah, because if you focus on, I mean, this is in general a bike thing. If you're watching, you know, if you're watching the ground in front of you, it's too late. Uh-huh. You've got to be watching, and the faster you go, the further forward, the further down, or further mm-hmm. into the future you need, you know, where you're going to be in the future, you need to be looking.
I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who, and they're new to bike racing, but very fast and racing at a high level, but they're not experienced. Mm-hmm. They've come up quickly, and we were talking about their nervousness about riding in close quarters and always feeling like they're just tense. And I was telling them about, you know, looking, don't ignore the person in front of you. Look at the person in front of them or the person in front of them. And that's what's going to happen to you eventually. So learn to like look through people. When I used to race on the track, because you have no brakes, you absolutely have to do this because you're only braking is to go up the track, you know, to try and scrub some speed off. And that's also where you can go to get out of trouble. And if you're just watching the person in front of you, you're going to crash. You got to look ahead and so you can anticipate what's going to happen to you. And that way too, you can also be much more efficient with not using your brakes, and you can kind of just scoot out to one side or the other and scrub off speed with rim resistance, or just, you know, maintain your speed and overlap to one side or the other. But yeah, generally concentrating on what is right in front of you on a motorcycle or a bicycle is not a good idea.
It's a bad idea. Yeah. Right. Well, I have to ask you, so we had our intro interlude on all things on dirt and motor things. Have you been riding have you been riding the road bike?
I have been, not a ton. I've been super busy and traveling. And I'm sorry to say, like, the last month has been just horrible. Actually, last month and a half. But since I got back from the West Coast, I have ridden, had a couple of good weeks. On the bike, I rode this evening with Jason. I came across him. He was on his gravel bike. And after I left him, he took a shortcut home through Indian Hill and lost one of his lights on a horse trail. He texted me. And I said, well, wait till dark and go find it. He's like, smart. Oh, you're right. It's probably still blinking.
Oh, that's good. I have to say, I've actually been riding the road bike as well. And there's something about early spring, going on rides early spring.
Mm-hmm.
You see the trees are just starting to come to life with their greenery. I don't know. There's something that's kind of makes me a little nostalgic about training and racing and
La Primavera.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. But, you know, John, I found out today that Alt Park, the world championships of Cincinnati, is only 3 races this year.
What?
Yeah, and there's like every, and it's not consecutive weekly. There's one race, week off, another race, week off, another race.
Is it that concours? Did they move the concours?
D'élégance. Le concours d'élégance.
To a Wednesday?
I don't know.
Wow, that's a big deal. So that places all the more pressure on your nightly performance.
Maybe they'll do sprints every 2 laps instead of every 5 laps.
That's the same number of sprints.
Right. That'd be good. And it's also the 50th anniversary. Tuesday night time trial series, the Cleves time trial.
All right.
10.2 miles. That is it's the 50th anniversary. So they're having a big party. I think I may strap on some clip-ons and go do it. Just for fun.
And who knows, maybe I told this story. I used to do those. And I remember one night coming back from there, I was driving by Great American Ballpark. When Deion Sanders, do you remember when Deion Sanders played for the Reds for
Deion?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Great American at that point. It wasn't still Riverfront, but he hit a home run and a triple. Like, he had a super first game, and then that was like his best game ever, and he was terrible the rest of the time. Yeah. I remember driving by the stadium, listening to the game, and all that stuff was going on after the Cleves time trial.
The times of Cleves, it's amazing. There was a local legend here, Paul Liebenrood, who held the record for a long, 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 long time. And it was 22 minutes and I can't remember how many seconds. And we're that's never going to be broken. Never, never. And then in the last 5 years, people are under 21 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Really? Yeah,
they're going 30 plus miles an hour. They're coming out with the full kit, air socks, everything.
Yeah.
And smashing it. So, I mean, eventually, I guess somebody might break the 20 minute mark.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I remember probably my best night there. I forget what that time was, but the only bike to beat me was a tandem, and it was by 15 seconds or something.
Yeah. Anything under a 24 is a pretty respectable time. Anything under a 23 is a good time.
Yeah. I had a good time. I had a very good time. I think that was Eric Knight was also out there preparing for duathlon worlds or something.
I held the, me and another guy held the junior. We may still hold it. If I go to the 50th, they're going to post all the records and all that stuff. The junior tandem records. When I was 14 years old or something, I did it with somebody.
It's an interesting course. And that one, I think the first time I went out there, I had a terrible time. And then I kind of figured it out. The way that the hills roll,
it's not hilly, it's flat, but there are some rollers that can just totally crush you if you go over.
Yeah.
it's a good lesson in pacing.
Yeah. Pacing, momentum. And it also, it's basically like a C or a U.
Yeah.
And the way that the wind is going, would really have an effect on how you dosed your effort.
You finish going east, and generally here, especially in the river valley, the wind blows from west to east.
Mm-hmm.
So if the wind is the way it should is normally, you have a tailwind on the last 4 miles.
You've been wrenching. You've been wrenching for Seniska. And I guess we should also say that in the interim since our last podcast, we worked on laying out the service course in the chateau. Mm-hmm. And you have you've been traveling with the team. You were at team camp.
Yeah.
Supporting.
As when I say I haven't been riding a lot, I mean, I'm not blaming the team because it's my job, but I've been on the road a lot and putting in a lot of hours with a new women's pro continental team called Seniska. Yeah. And our service course is over in France, in Southern France, in a town called Saint Martyrie on the Garonne River. And yeah, that's what I've been doing. Building bikes, going to races, fixing bikes, loading trailers.
Are you stuff. the grumpy old timer is like rah, 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 caliper brakes, six cog, five cogs. What's with these big gear ranges?
It makes it, you know, the modern tech, we have, so our bikes are Shimano. This stuff is awesome. I've built up a lot of new Durace bikes this year and more to come because we're replacing all the frames here. I've already replaced eight of them, but I'm a big fan of the Shimano stuff. I like it a lot.
Are you doing, is it all DI2? Are they all DI2 hydraulic or anything mechanical?
We have a few older time trial bikes with mechanical Durace, but it's all hydraulic Durace 12 speed.
Yeah, and I guess
with
Shimano doesn't do anything mechanical high end anymore, do they? I think it's all electronic.
They still have new stock of mechanical things. But yeah, it's all. You mean brakes?
Oh no, I was thinking mech rear derailleurs and.
Yeah, it's all electronic. Mm-hmm. And you know, with new Durace, so you still have a battery in the seat post, where we put ours. You have two wires. One goes to the front derailleur. One goes to the rear derailleur. And then it's wireless to the shifters. Mm-hmm. instead of a charging box or a box that's the junction box, the brains of it, that's not now all in the rear derailleur. So that's where there's a charging port on the rear derailleur, a magnetic charging port that charges the battery. The front derailleur takes its charge from the cable. So and from the battery, as does the rear derailleur. You know, everything takes its charge from the battery, but it's all, you do all of the charging from the rear derailleur and then the pairing and the adjustment from the rear derailleur. There's a button on the rear derailleur. You can also use their eTube app to do adjustments and pairing of bikes. And it's pretty funny when you set one of these groups up, because it is very F1-y. You know, you power everything up. If the stock has been sitting on the shelf for a little while, there's a software update that you have to do. And then it says, you know, do you want to pair anything else with it, like a power meter or the shifters? You have to pair. And there's a little QR code on the inside paddle of the shifter. You scan it with your phone. It puts it all together in one group, and then I name the bike, you know, Chloe's training bike or whatever, and see if there are any updates for anything, update any everything. If it's a power meter, you zero it out. You know, you do it all on the app on your phone. The power meter, it's in the Spider, and it uses the same charging cable as the rear derailleur. Thank you, Shimano.
That's nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, it's a sophisticated piece of kit.
It is. And it works great. Works really, really well.
It doesn't even sound like the same activity as, like, I don't know, setting up friction shifters.
Well, so I was, when I went over in July to do the team camp and do the first bike build, I hired the guy who I used to work for at Motorola. So he is the grumpy old mechanic. He lives in Belgium, and you know, he works on bikes and he's up to speed on stuff like that, but he was the one being like, oh my God, show me, you know. I was showing him like how to do the pairing. He's like, I don't have that on my phone, you do it, you know. He's making me do all the electronics and all that stuff.
Did he have a flip phone? Was he like, I can't do this on my flip phone? What's my password?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The another improvement that I think is an improvement is the brake bleeding. I mean, not that SRAM is difficult, but bleeding Shimano brakes is piece of cake. They redesigned on the lever body where you screw the funnel in. It's a bigger hole, threaded. So when you screw the funnel in, it's like sticks right in, and then you bleed it. You bleed the system from the caliper to the lever. Mm-hmm. It's just one way bleed.
Yeah. Yeah. Shimano's, it's pretty user friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it uses mineral oil. So it's not, you know,
love that hazardous. Mineral oil. Yeah. Not the DOT fluid, but yeah. That's good though, to keep your skills sharp.
If it's Shimano,
you're on.
I have an account with, what do they call it? The E-Tube Academy or something. You can watch training videos and get your certifications. And I'm not saying I know everything, but I'm pretty well versed with the new Shimano.
Well, John, did you know that we have some listener feedback?
What?
We have some listener feedback.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. This was an email or what is it? Courier électronique?
No, email.
Email. We do have an email, and this is a long-time listener. You ready to hear it?
Sure.
I think this is mostly sympathy for you. So The subject is the once-a-year email update. Hello to Johns. Long time, no write. Figured it's time to update you on the status of N+1 in my garage. My lovely boyfriend and I have recently acquired gravel bikes in the form of color-matched Canyon Grail ALs, his and hers. I wasn't sure that I was fully on board with the gravel terrain, but I am now. We've poured ourselves half-full glasses of gritty, dusty Kool-Aid and are chugging away after nearly 5,000 miles on the same paved routes, minus the detour into Belgium. That's a story for another day, so probably next year. We now have the freedom to venture onto endless gravel farm roads, which happily spread in every direction in rural southwest Minnesota. I was sorry to hear of the demise of John G's Basso, but it sounds like he's happy on the new Factor Steed. John G, any bike acquisitions or eliminations that we need to know about? Keep the rubber side down and happy end of 2022 to you both. Ever yours, Shoeless Puma. So this was an October email. So we will get around to reading your emails. Thanks, Shoeless Puma. And to your, you know, this, she knows us, and you're picking up a free bike tomorrow.
Oh yes. But before that, I got a 1973 Raleigh International full Nuvo record.
Ooh.
That I sent you pictures of, yes. Champagne with chrome lugs. But just today on our little neighborhood listserv, somebody put up the subject is free Trek steel bike frame. Please text if interested, and we can set it out. Lugged steel Trek bike built with Reynolds 531 tubing. And I sent you the picture of it, John. And it looks, it's one of those silver Treks. I don't know the model number. And it has on the seat tube, red band with the Trek block printing. And it looks like one of them that was built in Waterloo. And it looks like it has no brakes, no seat or seat post. It has handlebar and stem, wheels, chain, crankset, rear derailleur, maybe a front derailleur. Can't really tell. Oh, it has rear brakes on it. Huh.
It's more than just a frame.
Yeah, it's a whole bike.
I looked at the listing. I'm like, this is a whole bike.
Yeah. So I'm picking it up tomorrow. I texted the person right away, John, and I said, I saw your bike. I'm a lover of old bikes and will take good care of it if it's still available. Response: Hi, John. It's yours if you want it. My husband loves old bikes too. it needs a seat and a little love. Our address is, and she gives the address. I said, I'll pick it up tomorrow if that's okay. I have a seat and seat post for it and lots of other bike parts I never throw away. She says, that's great. Happy to see somebody go to someone who will appreciate it. Fixed it up years ago for my dad, but he never rode it because of Parkinson's. I said, I will take good care of it. See you tomorrow. She says, thank you. My husband is excited to meet you and talk about bikes.
Oh, this is like the Venus flytrap, isn't it?
So I may be there a while. But
it's gonna be going to be a while.
I'm gonna get some free bike. I'm gonna get a free bike.
Yeah, I can't remember. It'd be interesting to find out when Trek stopped making 531.
Okay, I have a guess.
Or using, I'm sorry, making using the 531 tube set.
I think that they stopped using the 531 tube set and producing bikes in Waterloo, or that particular bike in Waterloo. I would guess, I've got a guess, let's see. I would say 1991 would be my guess.
Was this with the advent of their aluminum program and then their aluminum carbon program and then their OCLV program, where all their steel bikes were basically probably made by a giant in Asia somewhere.
Taiwan.
TIG welded.
Yeah.
When they left
Lugs. Maybe earlier. It may be earlier than 91.
Well, yeah, I think that, so they were still doing lugged. I remember when I worked at the bike shop that was a Trek dealer, they were still doing a lugged Wisconsin-made frame on the mountain bike side, but they weren't using 531. They were using Tongue or something like that.
Yeah, right. Oh, I should say 531, they probably stopped in the 80s. Yeah, but I think they built 80s. Bikes in Waterloo up until the early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, actually, I think the mid-90s is when they stopped. The steel bikes. I don't know. You know, the whole carbon. I'm unclear about the carbon thing. But anyways, that'll be cool to have.
I might turn it into a fixed gear, flat bar fixed gear.
Oh, it has it all over. I mean, it's screaming to have that done to it.
Mm-hmm. Put a basket on it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you purchased any new bikes?
No, I haven't. Same bike, same. Yeah, all my equipment's kind of stayed the same. I haven't even gotten new shoes or a helmet. I'm still using that Abus helmet. It's kind of stinky at this point. I need to retire it.
Or wash it.
I've tried. I mean, I've successfully washed it. I haven't successfully gotten the sweat stink out of it.
The other new bike I got is a motorcycle, 2006 Triumph Speed 4, which is the forerunner to the Speed Triple and the thing that came after the Daytona TT. A naked sport bike, inline four cylinder, fuel injected. Nice little tidy sport bike.
Yeah, that looks nice. Is this going to be coming to a bike race near you as the lead vehicle?
No, probably not. I was thinking I'm going to Joe Martin stage race the week after next, and I was thinking I would take it down there, but the team trailer, I don't have the team. I'm going to be bringing the team trailer back, but not down there, so I don't really have a way to get it down there.
Yeah, that's, you know what, that's the thing about bike. Like, if you have some sort of utility thing you have to do, you have to be like, all right, do I do this? Do I do that? You know, how do I rig this up on the motorbike? That'd be a cool trip. Cincinnati to Arkansas.
Well, I need to take too much stuff down there. I can't ride the motorcycle. But if I had a trailer, I would take it down. But so will I be a motor ref? No, I will not. Nope.
Maybe you might transport some things in the cases. Do you have cases? Do you have any touring cases for it?
No, that's not. It's not.
It's not that kind of bike. I've seen it.
No, right? It's not that kind of bike.
But you can put. I mean, you know.
Yes, you could put bags on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like little pods. They make some cool little rear pod luggage.
Yeah. Like is it Givi? G-I-V-I?
Mm-hmm.
Givi. All right. So yeah, motorbikes. We've really been getting into motorbikes. I mean, we've always kind of been into it, but we didn't talk about it so much. But to wrap things up on the Shoeless Puma, thanks for sending that. We don't have any gifts. We don't. Hold on. I actually did find some old, because originally, John, you know that we gave old cycling swag until Defeat stepped in and said, quit sending people your old publicity van material. And I have some.
You have what?
I have some very special swag for a listener. It's not coffee, and you'll actually get it. They're socks from a former president.
Oh.
No, he didn't wear them, but he had them made.
President of the United States?
President of the United States, George W. Bush, whether you like him or not. What? He was a cyclist, and he would have these socks made that said Peloton One.
Oh, wow. Are you this sounds like something you're re-gifting.
Kind of, sort of, maybe. So, Shoeless Puma, if you want a pair of Peloton One socks made for, I don't know what number he was, 43? Yeah, probably 43.
That's right. He was a cyclist. He rode a Trek, and you know who went on a ride with him? China Todd worked for Trek.
Right.
And he went on a ride with the Prez in Washington, and they went on to Quantico Naval Base, I think. That's where they rode.
Yeah. So, Shoeless Puma. Shoeless Puma probably already won some socks or over socks years ago. But if you would like a pair of Peloton One socks, you can send an email with your contact to twojohnspodcast@gmail.com. That's twojohnspodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll read it within 1 year.
Have you had any observations from, do you follow at all the Spring Classics?
I did watch the Spring Classics. Do I have any observations? Well, you know, like the Milan-San Remo is no longer the sprinter's race. Because so many people make it over that last climb. But it is exciting. I like Milan-San Remo.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you, the women's racing has been super exciting. The women's Paris-Roubaix was, if you haven't watched it, you should. The way it came back together at the end, and Alice Jackson winning it after towing a group up in the last 20 kilometers was unbelievable. The finish of that race was really, really, really good. Let's see, what else? Can't really recall.
How about Liège? I mean, the most recent one.
Yeah.
Remco Evenepoel's. I don't know if you saw, I mean, he basically just rode Pidcock off his wheel.
Yeah. He's very, very good.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And he was set up, you know.
Yeah, Quick Step needed that because they were getting their hats handed to them by Jumbo. But so that was good to see. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the tour. I hear today I was reading the news that Pogačar's team, there's some COVID. COVID is still out there and the protocols are pretty tight. And when somebody tests positive in the team bubble, then like everybody has to isolate. So hopefully Pogačar will race the Giro. I did see Sean Yates won a stage and the tour.
Hold up.
Adam Yates. A tour, that 4-day stage or 5-day stage race. What was it?
Was that one? Yeah.
It wasn't Romandy.
I guess it would have been. Maybe it was Romandy because it would have been a warm up for the Giro.
Yeah. So he still got it. That's good. I've always been a fan of the Yates brothers. I'm sorry to see him split up now. But yeah, Giro's coming. That's a race you love, John. We'll see.
Yeah, the Giro will be interesting. Roglic and Remco. I mean, that'll be interesting because, Evenepoel is incredible. I mean, they're both incredible, but not. They're not equal.
75 miles or 75 kilometers of time trial.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. Excuse me. Oh, yawning. I have had to become versed with the UCI rules and regulations now about time trial bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they have a height system, which dictates how much bar drop you can have. Extension. And
is that to limit the
stretched out
approaching the Superman position?
Yep. And then, it used to be that the saddle was way above the bars and you were bent over and on these bars, but now the positioning is to have your upper body much more in line with the saddle. And so they measure to make sure that the tips of the extensions are not taller than the level of the saddle. So they don't want the.
So you can't be like a plus 15 stem.
Right. No, you cannot.
All those people on the bike path, you're banned.
Uh-huh. I saw a guy riding on his, mountain bike tonight in the aero bars with a phone
sending text or something from the aero, the quote unquote aero position.
yep. It's like, wow, that dude is, maybe he's a night trader, he's busy, something's happening,
making dealios and training. It's all about dealios and training.
But yeah, so the Giro, that's going to be a cool race. Excuse me, man, I'm yawning. Our team, as I said, we have a split team racing Joe Martin in a couple weeks. This weekend they race in, or no, next week they race in Brittany. There's a multi-day stage race. So half the team's over in Europe, half the team is here. And then after Nationals, the rest of the team's going to go back to Europe, and there's some, 5, 6, 7 day stage races, Pyrenees, Basque Country, stuff like that.
Well, that sounds exciting. Will you? So you'll go over there for some of those probably later in the year.
Oh, let's hope not.
Late summer. Those are probably long days. But at least you're. So are you still? Let me ask you this: are you still gluing tires?
No. Well, yes, I glued some tires on time trial wheels.
Time trial wheels.
Yes, but not on all the rest of our wheels are. Clinchers.
That's got to save you hours.
It is a huge savings of time and mess and worry, not to glue on tires. Mm-hmm. Yep. And there are not many teams that are still gluing on tires.
Mm-hmm.
It's either tubeless or latex or tubolito type tubes.
And didn't you become an expert in tire inserts?
I hate those things. No, I love them. They're wonderful. Yes.
It's the new tubular.
We're only using them on our training tires.
Oh, okay.
The Vittoria airliners. I can now put them in pretty, air quote, easily. But taking them off You might as well just get your side cutters.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah, those things are tight. Usually, well, hopefully you're taking the tire off because it's worn out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So doesn't matter if you destroy it. Get your side cutters and start cutting that bead.
Maybe we should just go straight to a full-on, fully rollable, basically exterior tire insert, like B-cycles or whatever your bike share program has. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't ride too well.
No. All right. Well, since I hear some yawning, and in today's podcast universe, podcasts tend to be between 30 and 45 minutes.
I know.
Not our long format.
Do you know how many cycling podcasts there are now? There are... hundreds, thousands of cycling podcasts. And I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, bragging. When we started, there was one other cycling podcast, I think.
Right.
Right?
The Fredcast.
Maybe there was another one that we didn't know about, but I don't think so.
I think it was just the Fredcast.
So what I'm saying is we need some kind of trophy or something like that. Participation award.
It is a participation award in the, you know, in the underappreciated podcast Hall of Fame. I think we'll have a star on the floor. Maybe in the bathroom.
In 200 years, in some textbook.
Right. Early podcasters. Actually, no, it'll be in the Podcasters Hall of Fame in the bathroom in front of the two commodes. We'll have stars.
Yes. So the question is, if we type into ChatGPT, do a podcast about bicycles and just let it go. And we give it, you know, there are two people, bicycles, podcast, and let it go. Do you think it would be, well, it would probably be better than us, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would it be anything?
I've been doing some writing and trying to help her use some ChatGPT, and I had to, like, whoa, this is terrible. You know, 90% of this is useless. Why don't we do this for next time, John? Our next podcast, we will do a portion of it that is generated by AI, and we'll just read
it. Okay.
And we can enter it as we're doing it and then read it kind of real time.
Yeah. Let's invite somebody to send us an email generated by ChatGPT, a question email.
You know what that sounds like a job for, or who that sounds like a job for?
Who?
Sir Fun Run Robbie, or either Sir Fun Run Robbie or Alva. If Alva is still out Alva. There.
Oh, gosh. I don't think Sir Fun Run Robbie wants AI because he's an artist. You know, he teaches graphic art and art class and stuff. He wants the human expression.
Yeah, I do think that there's a certain amount of machine embracing that he has in his art.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, well, send us an email, a ChatGPT generated email question or comment.
Have your AI write us an email to johnspodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or have your AI tweet at us or send something on the Instagrams.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good seeing you, John.
Yep. Same here. Hopefully we'll do this soon. Check in either before or after the Joe Martins.
Want more of them? Follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/podcast or send us an email. Enjoy your ride.
Oh, yeah.
Be safe. Get a real. Oh. And if you ride with us,